Today I am going to read Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 7 in Hindi. एक सूबेदार का विश्वास. जब वह लोगों से ये बातें कह चुका तो कफरनहूम में आया. वहाँ किसी सूबेदार का एक दास जो उसका प्रिय था बीमारी से मरने पर था. उसने यीशु की चर्चा सुनकर यहूदियों के कई पुरनियों को उससे यह विनती करने को उसके पास भेजा कि आकर मेरे दास को चंगा कर. वह यीशु के पास आए और उनसे यह विनती करके कहने लगे, वह इस योग्य है कि तू उसके लिए यह करे, क्योंकि वह हमारी जाति से प्रेम रखता है और उसी ने हमारे आराधनालय को बनाया है. यीशु उनके साथ गया, पर जब वह घर से दूर ना था तो एक सूबेदार ने उसके पास कई मित्रों के द्वारा कहला भेजा, हे प्रभु, दुख ना उठा, क्योंकि मैं इस योग्य नहीं कि तू मेरी छत के तले आए. इसी कारण मैंने अपने आप को इस योग्य भी ना समझा कि मैं तेरे पास आऊँ, पर वचन ही कह दे तो मेरा सेवक चंगा हो जाएगा. थैंक यू. गॉड ब्लेस ऑल ऑफ यू.
Well, good morning, everyone. And you're feeling nice and warm. We've certainly had some very hot weather, haven't we? Well, before we start, let's just take a moment to pray, and then we'll see what God wants to say to us this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to come to this place to be able to study your word, to hear what you want to say to us. And we pray this morning that you will speak to us very clearly, each one of us, that we may be very conscious of your love and your concern for people around the world, that your love is for every single person on this world. We pray, dear Father, that you would just make this very clear to us and help us to understand what our responsibility is in sharing your word. Amen. Well, for those who don't know me, my name is Ray Muckaway. I've been a member here in the church for over 60 years, and occasionally I get a chance to preach. And Fran, my wife, and I, we were missionaries for over 40 years. So it's a good opportunity to speak with you this morning, and to just take this opportunity to share God's word. So this morning we're going to have a look at one of the great parables told in God's word. This is such a wonderful parable. And you know, every person on earth needs to hear this story. I, for one, I'm so thankful that God's love is so great that he didn't give up on me. And he doesn't give up on anyone. Well, firstly, what is a parable? It's something that we hear about in God's word, but what actually is a parable? Well, it's just a simple story. But Jesus was very clever in using stories that were culturally applicable to the people he was talking to. He did this knowing that those he was talking to wouldn't be able to say, we don't understand what you're saying about, what you're talking about. The parable, the story, contains illustrations of everyday situations people living in that particular area would be very familiar with. So that's what a parable is. It's a very culturally sensitive story relating illustrations that people were very, very aware of. This morning we're going to have a look at a short video to set the scene for us. In this story, which we've just read, Jesus is being accused of associating with sinners. And indeed, he even spends time with them eating together. Now, when the video starts, take note of how the story, take note of the story he tells them. Remember what a parable is. Remember it's a culturally applicable story. Listen to how he starts his response to his accusers. He knows that this is a story that all of them would be familiar with. It doesn't matter whether they're actually shepherds or even the teachers of the law, they still would be very, very aware of this story. So let's have a look at that now. Well, I'll see if I can get it going. I'm sorry about that. I don't know why it's doing that. Well, sorry?
It's like displaying the two screens side by side.
Oh, is that what it could be?
It's got some sort of thing on it.
Oh, okay. Ah. How's it doing that? Here we go. Is there something in there? Yeah? Right.
This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them.
What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which I had lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Well, that was a bit of a challenge, wasn't it? So we'll continue on now with the rest of this. This chapter actually contains three stories. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. Now, each one of these stories shows how God is so concerned for each and every person to come to the safety of his kingdom. Each one of these parables will tell that exact same story. I would encourage each of you to read the rest of this chapter. The chapter contains three parables, and each one of these stories contains the same message. How God is concerned for the most lost person to come into his kingdom. At the end of the last story, we have this beautiful picture. It's a really lovely picture of how excited God is when a lost person comes home. So please have a look at those other two parables. They are very, very worthwhile reading. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." Let's look at how this story evolves. Jesus is confronted by men who are considered to be learned teachers. They're supposed to know the law. These men had access to the writings of the Old Testament. But you know, had they have read these writings with the correct attitude to what God had revealed in his writings, they would see that the Old Testament is full, absolutely full of evidence that the Messiah, the Saviour they are looking for, is Jesus, the Son of God. That here he is standing amongst them. No, they were so blind to the truth, and all they were interested in, they were just dead set on accusing Jesus of doing wrong. Did Jesus eat with sinners? He certainly did, and I thank God that he did. He wanted to see all people, all kinds of people, no matter what their background was, come into his kingdom. We have just celebrated Christmas, Jesus' birth at Christmas. Now, why was he born? And what was God's plan for Jesus to spend time here on earth? God's love for mankind is so great that he made a way for each and every one of us to come back home. That's why Jesus came. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and just loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? You know, when Jesus heard what they were saying, he told this parable, this story, as well as the other two parables in the chapter. So, you know, please take the time to read those. They give a picture of God's love for people. It's very interesting that the shepherd, who is looking after a flock of 100 sheep, notices that just one of them's missing. You know, he knows the flock so well that if one goes missing, he knows. He's very, very aware that one of those 100 sheep are missing. When you think the shepherd has watched the lamb grow up, he's watched the lamb being born, he's watched it grow up into a mature sheep, you can understand why he would be so concerned when that sheep went missing. In this culture, a flock of sheep was very, very important. And every single sheep was important because that was a way they could get food, get milk, and be taken care of. So, what does the shepherd do? He leaves the rest of the sheep and goes looking for the lost one. Now, what do you think about that? Was the shepherd irresponsible, leaving the whole flock and go searching for one? You think he was? That's a reasonable question. If we examine the situation, is there justification for why the shepherd would do this? The main flock of sheep were in a good place. They had plenty to eat. There were quite a number of sheep left in the flock, so they had some form of protection just simply with the numbers of sheep that were there. But the shepherd knew that that one sheep that was missing faced a number of dangers. It could get attacked by a predatory animal. It could get lost and not know how to return back to the safety of the flock. It could get injured. So knowing this, the shepherd wouldn't be happy. He certainly wouldn't be happy until he found that sheep and brought it back to the safety of the rest of the flock. So when he finds that sheep, what does he do? Well, he makes sure that the sheep is not injured. He takes care of it and makes sure everything is okay. Then he puts it on his shoulders and returns home. We'll have a look at something a little bit later about that and to think about how difficult that would be. You know, now we're starting to see what this parable is all about. You know, the shepherd was so glad that he found this lost sheep, he wanted to share this news with others. This was a time for celebration. You know, we got this announcement, the lost sheep, the joy in finding what was lost, calling his friends and his family and celebrating because they have found the sheep, and that was just so important in that culture. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now we're really getting to the heart of the issue. This is what this whole story is about. Not only for those listening to the story, the people that we saw in the first slides, this is very important for you and for me also. What we need to know is God, our Heavenly Father, is so glad. He is absolutely overjoyed when just one sinner returns home. But at the end of the verse, that we have this statement, then over 99 righteous persons that do not need to repent. Now that's an unusual statement, isn't it? I wonder what that means. Is this passage saying that God is not concerned about the others? No. He knows they are safely home already. His joy about one person shows just how much God loves his children and wants every one of them to come back home to safety. That's what it's all about. It's that one person, every single one that returns back home. Let's have a look at a couple of other parts in Scripture that help us to understand this even more clearly. In John chapter 6 and in verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. That's none of all of what God has given him, but raise them up at the last day. You know, Jesus is absolutely intent upon rescuing sinners, not only because the Father gave them to him, but also because he loves them. Jesus' love was so great, he sacrificed his life on the cross to take our punishment, the punishment of me and for you and everyone else, for sin, and make absolutely sure that there was a way to come back home to safety of the Father. That's what Jesus' intent was. We'll have a look at one more in the book of Peter. And chapter 2 and a couple of verses there, 24 and 25. He himself, that is Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, by Jesus' wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You know, one of the lovely things is this parable gives no indication of the shepherd ever rebuking. Instead, what does he do? What does he do when he finds the sheep? He hoists this sheep on his shoulders and takes it home. You know, an adult sheep may weigh anywhere between 50 and 55 kilograms. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to pick up that amount of weight. That's very heavy. It would be no small effort to carry one over the shoulders. The shepherd's joy would be so great finding this lost sheep, he would be glad to bear the discomfort. And likewise, this is the really important part. Jesus bore the weight of our sins upon the cross. As high priest and mediator, he continues to bear our cares and infirmities before the Father. That is going on now, it went on yesterday, it's going on today, and that will go on again tomorrow. So, we now come to a story I want to tell you. This is a true story, and indeed it's very relevant right up to this time. Some years back, because Fran and I were involved in the mission and we were very involved in church, we could have spent 24/7 with Christians and nobody else. And God spoke to me some years back and he said, but what about all the other people out there who don't have the opportunity to hear about God, who don't have the opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you going to do about that? And so that was a real challenge to me. And I decided to get involved in organisations that weren't Christian. They weren't religious. They were various clubs, model railway clubs, photographic clubs, four-wheel drive clubs, people that, as I say, have got no affiliation with church. Now, at the moment, I'm dealing with a person who, he certainly isn't a Christian, and but he's someone that I love. He's somebody that I'm concerned about, and I would love to see him come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the challenge to me, and I hope the challenge to you, is that my life may be the only gospel that person will ever read. So that's a challenge. How do we live our lives before these people? I still struggle with this, that a lot of the people I spend time with, and this person is no exception, they swear quite a bit. And I still, to this very day, struggle with that. And it would be easier to walk away and not be involved with that sort of thing. I sometimes say to Fran, I have got no idea how this person is ever going to turn back to God. You look at their lives, you look at the way they're living, and you think, how are they ever going to know the Lord Jesus Christ? And so I just think of my life as being an opportunity to share the Lord Jesus with them. Now, my question to you this morning is, and I hope you might be able to help me, is what do I do? As I say, there are things that this person and other people do that I find very offensive. My question is, do I continue on trying to be a witness to those people, or do I walk away? What do you think? You can even say something.
Out and touch their hearts. That's the only way.
Well, my decision is that I'm going to stick at it. And it's very interesting because I try to make sure that people know what I stand for. Sometimes I'll be with these people and they will swear and they say, oh, sorry, Ray. and they're conscious of what I stand for. But what have we read this morning? What is the absolute concern of God our Father? His concern that every single one of them, every one of them will return back home. So that's my challenge to you today. Try and make sure that when you have the opportunity to influence somebody, please take the opportunity. Remind them of God's love, of what Jesus Christ has done for them, and the wonderful privilege it is for them to return back home. Thank you.